We're in one of the Jets classrooms right now, and we're talking draft with collegefootballnews.com's Rich Sermonello. Rich, after the initial stages of free agency and two consecutive non-winning seasons, the Jets still have a number of needs to address in this year's draft. When you look at their needs, what can they address early in this draft?
You take a look at the offense and the defense separately. From an offensive perspective, EA, I'm thinking no on quarterback early. First round, second round, deep class possibly. Elite talent, no. This is not 2012. 2013 is very different.
So no Geno Smith here.
I would say no Geno Smith. And I like Geno Smith, liked him very much as a college quarterback, very productive. Not 100% convinced that he's going to translate to the NFL level. I think there is some risk involved, more risk than I can accept for a number 9 pick. So I would say let Buffalo take him at number 8. Let someone else take him in the top 10, and let's look a little deeper in the draft for a quarterback. So I would say no to a quarterback early, if I could put that in there. I would say no for first round for quarterback.
Okay.
I would lay off. Guard is a distinct possibility. Two kids, obviously, everybody's talked about. I like as well. Chance Warmack of Alabama, Jonathan Cooper of North Carolina. So let's put them in as possibilities at this point. Warmack, big, massive guard. I think he's somebody who could project to be a pro bowler within a couple of years. Starter right off the bat. And to your point, I think we're looking for immediate impact players, starters right out of the gate.
And Cooper, he doesn't get as much notoriety perhaps as Warmack, who went to Alabama and
yes,
won a national championship, but he's a fine prospect.
Yeah, Jonathan didn't even play in a bowl game last year. North Carolina ineligible for the postseason, whereas Alabama's winning back-to-back national championships. Here is your road grader. This is more of your finesse player. Love the athleticism of Jonathan Cooper. Really moves like a tight end, blocks like a guard. Again, this is as good a duo at guard as we've seen in a number of years. That's a possibility at number 9. And then guards, we don't really look at. Tackles, we're looking at top 10. This is a different kind of a class. I think you're looking at someone that you could pencil in for the next 10 years on the interior. Tight end need position. The only kid that we're looking at very early is Tyler Eifert of Notre Dame. Not going to happen at number 9. So I would say, much like quarterback, we can fill the need at tight end, and that need will be filled at some point later in the draft.
So you see good value later in the draft. I know a lot of folks like the Stanford tight end as well. And Escobar from San Diego State.
Gavin Escobar is a great example. That was somebody I was going to bring up. And Gavin Escobar and Zach Ertz, similar type of tight ends. You're not going to really rely on them in the running game. They're not blockers. They're more glorified wide receivers, kids that you can really count on. Gavin Escobar, I think, has the best hands in the entire draft. Zach Ertz, very productive. 2 years ago with Andrew Luck, even last year with a young quarterback in Kevin Hogan towards the end of the season, still very productive without a lot of support from his wide receivers. So good depth. Travis Kelce, that's another name to keep in mind. Big kid, 6'4", 256, can block, will catch, not going to stretch the field. But again, to my point, lots of depth here. Forget about it early. It's not going to be a first or second round choice. Okay. So if I could put that in here, I would say no early picks.
Jets obviously going to have to replace Dustin Keller at some point.
Exactly.
But let's move on to wide receiver.
Yeah, wide receiver, again, my opinion, and I've been covering the draft for more than 10 years, I think wide receiver, unless you have someone that is an elite Calvin Johnson type receiver, I don't think you're looking top 10 at the position. If this was in the 20s, possibly, second round, third round, I think, again, good depth. There are a lot of kids who were very productive but didn't test particularly well. Terrence Williams at Baylor being a good example. There are a lot of receivers that were very productive that can be drafted later on. Not number 9. Listen, if number 13 is a pick, let's say the trade happens for Darrell Revis with Tampa, Tavon Austin, I am absolutely infatuated with, because he's not just a receiver. He's a special teamer. He's a kid that you could use on fly sweeps, was very good out of the backfield taking handoffs. So a multi-dimensional weapon, I would say possible. I don't think at number 9, EA, but I think Tavon Austin is someone that Jets fans should at least be paying attention to, because he's an instant playmaker, someone that this offense can use.
I'm glad you brought up Austin. 198 all-purpose yards per game at West Virginia. Some people also like Cordarrelle Patterson, from Tennessee.
Yeah.
He only played 1 year of Division I football, and some folks think he's kind of raw. When I'm asked about him, I say maybe the Jets have that person in-house, not with the return ability, but when you're talking about a raw receiver who's got the speed-size dynamic, that's Stephen Hill,
exactly.
The second round from last year,
right? That's a great point. That's exactly what I was thinking. I think a lot of Jets fans are, you know, inconsistency of Stephen Hill. What did you expect in first year? This was a kid who came out of a triple option system at Georgia Tech, had no support at quarterback, was dealing with 5'10", 5'11 quarterbacks that ran the option. Stephen Hill's going to take a couple of years, and I think he's going to get there. He has the measurables. He now has the staff. He has the off-season training program to develop into a big-time receiver. So I would say let's tap the brakes on panicking on Stephen Hill. I think that's a kid that really could be effective this year and beyond. So glad you brought that up.